Wow. I've heard that military justice can be swift, but I never expected it to come down that quickly. I noticed when I left the hearing room when the others who were next to me said that they had been questioned in the morning. The two friends of Samuelson were first shortly after morning drill, and they spilled the beans lest they get into more serious trouble. Then the MPs checked out the side of the party, as well as the access road where I had been brought back. That produced more than enough evidence to prove Samuelson's guilt. That also explained why they didn't need to interview me. I was only needed to verify what was said, and it turns out they didn't even need that. Their interviews of Willis and Houston also led them to the previous two incidents, and those cadets were questioned late in the morning. The upper brass at the academy had been suspecting Samuelson for well over a year, and had some circumstantial evidence which was how they knew to interview Willis and Houston, but never had quite enough to bring any official charge until Zim caught me at Reveille. I never had to make an accusation. Heck, I never had the opportunity to. Once the old man got informed of it, he apparently threw a fit and wanted Samuelson brought in immediately so he could throw the book at him. Well, not the whole book. He could have had him court-martialed, but Frankel wanted this over and done with and an example made to put an end to the hazing that had been going on for years. Frankel is an amazing hyena. He seems to know exactly how much to do for maximum psychological effect. Heck, it worked on me. Honestly, though, I feel guilty. I mean, if I had been smart and realized what was going on, I could have left that secret society meeting and gotten back on base before curfew, and that would have been the end of it. But now, a promising career is in shambles. Yeah, I know it's not my fault, really, and he did need to be disciplined, but it still made me feel very bad. A guy who worked hard to get where he was, now gone, while I, who nearly quit at the first sign of hardship, was still here. Frankly, I deserve something more than just 70 push-ups. So I approached Zim after evening drill. Ma'am, Cadet Draper reports.
It's over, Draper. You've already been disciplined.
Begging your pardon, ma'am, but push-ups doesn't seem to me to be adequate punishment for violating Air Force Instruction 36-2911, paragraph 648-1, absent without leave, or Article 134, drunk and disorderly while on active duty, not to mention Article 89, disrespect toward a superior commissioned officer by lying
about... Draper, do you really feel that strongly about it?
I was a fool, ma'am. I could have realized...
You didn't start the ball rolling, Draper. You're not responsible after that.
But ma'am, I...
Draper, get out of my face and get to mess.
I didn't dare push it any further. That would have been insubordination. So I saluted and left. The other cadets in the squadron knew I wasn't feeling my best all the next day, well, with my hangover and my mood in the dumper. Getting Samuelson kicked out seemed a relief to them as he had a sadistic streak. Oh, not enough to get him in trouble, but he seemed to enjoy belittling those under his command a bit too much. News of Samuelson's fate spread like wildfire. By the evening mess, everyone seemed to know the minutest detail of what happened. That got me some notice, as they assumed I had something to do with it. Well, I did, but not directly. Yet there seemed to be a growing rumor that I was a snitch, using things I knew to get others in trouble. They all kept their distance that evening and most of the next day as well, afraid they might let something slip that I would report. The looks I was getting, too. Oh, not as bad as basic, but close. And I never had the chance to report Samuelson, and I wouldn't have anyway. I was even hearing rumors that my little meeting with Zim was to snitch on someone else. All this worsened my mood. I was losing friendships before many had even begun, all without having done anything. But then, after the very next evening drill, when we had all gathered to be dismissed for evening mess...
Cadet Dipper Donald Draper, front and center!
Oh, man, what did I start now? I sprinted to a spot in front of the first row, came to attention and saluted. Lieutenant Zim then pulled out an official-looking sheet, which he read from.
Cadet Draper, you have been accused of violating Air Force Instruction 36-2911, paragraph 648-1, absent without leave, by leaving the academy grounds, being out past curfew, and failing to report for Reveille. You are also accused of violating Article 134 by being drunk and disorderly while on active duty. You are also accused of violating Article 89 by showing disrespect towards a superior commissioned officer, namely lying to them when asked a direct question. The maximum penalty for these infractions is a bad conduct discharge, as well as incarceration for a period no longer than 1 year. However, such a penalty can only be administered with a court-martial. You may waive your right to a court-martial subject to the administrative discipline, which will be handed down by the officer in charge, namely me. Such discipline will not include incarceration and will not include discharge from the Air Force nor the Academy. Do you agree?
I was not expecting this. Well, I did ask for some punishment, and since I would still be in the Academy... Ma'am, I do so waive. She then read from the document she was holding. Number one, my weekend pass, which I had not even applied for, was made null and void. Number two, I was to report Saturday morning at 800 hours to the Air Force Academy Airfield Hangar 3 and report to Staff Sergeant Michaels, who will assign cleaning duty as he sees fit. Number three, I am not to go anywhere else for the duration of the assignment to Staff Sergeant Michaels until such time as he dismisses me, at which point I am to report back to the Academy. And number four, I will not be permitted to leave Academy grounds until Reveille Monday morning. She then summarily handed me the paper she was holding. The new assistant squadron leader then shouted,
"Squadron, present arms!"
We all saluted, and Zim saluted back,
"Order, arms!"
Zim then dismissed us, turned tail, and walked away quickly, obviously trying to avoid me. Heck, I wasn't going to chase after her, not after that. Several of the other cadets approached.
"Wow, Pooh, she threw the book at you."
"Yeah, I've heard about that cleaning duty. It's the most dirty and backbreaking work they can hand out as discipline."
"But man, she sounded like she was ready to have you court-martialed."
"Yeah, but that would have taken months, and honestly, you didn't even deserve this much. What's gotten into her? I thought she liked you."
I didn't want to tell them that I virtually demanded some kind of punishment.
"Look, Pooh, I thought you were some kind of snitch after what happened to Samuelson. But looks like you didn't get away scot-free either."
"Yeah, I thought you were some kind of goody-two-shoes. But after this, you're all right in my book."
"Yeah?
Come on, everyone gets into some kind of trouble here. At least the ones worth getting to know."
"Yeah. Say, how about we take you out next weekend? Our treat."
Okay, but don't expect me to drink anything." So, Saturday morning, I wore my worst fatigues, figuring I was likely to get them pretty dirty. Then I got on the shuttle bus to the airfield. Well, it was more like a van, and I was the only passenger beside the driver. He dropped me right off in front of Hangar 3. I headed toward the only door I could see, where a fox waited outside wearing an official set of coveralls.
"Cadet Dipper Draper."
"Yes, sir. Reporting for duty."
"Relax. I'm just a sergeant, not a superior officer. You're here for administrative discipline, correct?"
"Yes, sir."
"Well, follow me and I'll put you to work. Ever cleaned a jet before?"
No, sir."
"Well, today's your lucky day. Here, wear these coveralls. They should fit and will prevent you from getting your fatigues dirty. I will be giving you instructions on what and how to clean things, so don't worry. Yes, it's hard work, but not detailed. The detailed work we leave up to the engineers. The jet you get to clean is this."
Before me was an F-16 fighter jet. This type is often used for training, which is not surprising at an airfield for the Academy. But the colors. This was not the standard Air Force paint job. This was...
That's a Thunderbird! An Air Force Thunderbird!
"Yep. Been here for a few days after the air show in Denver. We just need to clean it up for the holiday flyover on Thanksgiving."
"You mean, I get to clean an Air Force Thunderbird?"
"And you better do it right. Remember, they give them the white glove treatment before every show. You up to it?"
"Sir, yes, sir."
"I told you, relax. I'm not a commissioned officer. Let's get to work, shall we?"
Did Zim know? Was I specifically given this punishment that wasn't a punishment? Because, come on, what cadet who wants to be a pilot wouldn't jump at the chance to touch one of these birds? I guess I'll never know, because I wasn't about to ask. Yes, it was hard, dirty work. You'd be surprised how dirty these birds get after a show. And they have to be spotless for the next one. By the end of the day, my arms and back were killing me. But Sergeant Michaels was happy, and so was I. As soon as we finished the concert in Phoenix, we started packing everything. We finished the next morning, then began the long drive back to Huntington. Les did say that we had the holidays off, which made sense. I really didn't have much in the way of Christmas music that I could make an entire concert with, and we all could use the month-long break. We got in the wee hours and started putting everything away in the studio for safekeeping. Stan came out to meet us, and since a good portion of the crew already knew him, they greeted each other. Once unloaded and the studio locked up, we parked the buses and truck on the lot and sent everyone home after I had given them all a holiday bonus. This didn't leave much for us, but I didn't care. I was doing this tour for the love of it, and Stan and I didn't need much. Stan then drove us home, ready to spend the holidays together.
Honestly, this is going down as one of my favorite memories. I got the tree set up, put on the lights, and set the angel on top, then let Corona and Perseus put on the rest of the decorations. Not the way I would have done it, but the tree is more for them than me. Sarah had made us all hot chocolate with marshmallows. I could simply sit back and enjoy, and occasionally put an ornament near the top of the tree that neither Corona nor Perseus could reach. To me, this is Christmas.
I rather surprised myself by getting all A's in my courses. I guess just the wake-up call from Zim was what I needed to finish the semester with a flourish. While I did call my parents for Thanksgiving, I didn't go home, since that would have meant 2 days flying just to spend 3 days there, and I really wanted to prepare for finals. The mess hall did give us a rather nice turkey dinner for us, though. But now, here I was heading home for Christmas and New Year's. I packed all my new uniforms, which amounted to 4 so far, because I knew both Mom and Dad would want to take my picture wearing each of them. You know? I'm glad my father kept my bedroom as it was. It's going to make coming home for Christmas truly a homecoming.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. For no matter how far away you roam, when you long for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee, and he was headed for Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie. From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore, from Atlantic to Pacific. Gee, the traffic is terrific.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. For no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee, and he was heading for Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie.
From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore,
from Atlantic to Pacific. Gee, the traffic is terrific.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, 'cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays you can't be home, sweet home.